Good evening. Welcome to Ask Catherine. This is supposed to be questions as of July 18th, but I added a group of questions as of through July 21st, as there's no money in markets in Ask Catherine next week. So I wanted to make sure I got to your questions, because otherwise it was going to be 2 weeks from now. So let's just dive in. And as always, thank you for your questions. So starting with cash and precious metals and money questions. Hello, and let me just say, if I strongly recommend you watch this week's equity overview and go through the script, and lots of good links in that script, and it's really designed to answer all the questions I get in Ask Catherine about money. So it's a real roll-up, and I strongly recommend. We divided it into three different sections. One is risk management, one is living equity, one is financial equity. And I find often if you jump to financial equity and don't deal first with the risk management and liquid equity, whatever you make in financial equity, you're going to lose out the back door. So I strongly recommend it. It's sort of a great roll-up of things in the sequential order you need for your personal and financial planning. Hi, Catherine. I've been acquiring physical gold and silver since 2006. It's held its own against fiat nicely. I've sold very little of it and hold quite a bit of cash, trying to wrap my head around using silver as a local monetary exchange. I have more than a core position, yet somehow find it hard to hold par with it for everyday purchases. Does one just fork over the metals to an agreeing partner? Okay, in our theme next week, we have a whole bunch of material from Franklin Sanders. That's part of what that section is about. It'll go up on Thursday. And I strongly recommend you take a look and read that. Now, what it really starts with is a group of people and small businesses who want to circulate among each other. There's going to be a lot of great material in that. We're putting it up this week. So check that out and then send questions. Catherine, do you have information assist on starting a state bank that acts as a wholesaler? Yeah, take a look at what the state of North Dakota has done. That's the best example we know of. Do you have the same for starting a depository? Texas started a depository, so that's also an example there. How do you find a credible spiritual warfare trainer? I just found a great church with a great Bible Institute. So that's what you need. You really need an institution and an educational part within that institution that's really focused on teaching that. There's some preachers I love that have good online stuff, but that's what I think you need to find. And you definitely, I would not try and learn spiritual warfare online. It's fine to get DVDs and listen to them, you know, or other audios. I love great sermons, but I think you really, you know, to learn spiritual warfare, you need intimate conversations in small groups or sermons in small groups. And, or you can hear the sermon in a big congregation, but you really need intimate discussions, is my experience. Anyway, but it's a learning journey, so I would start with books and tapes and DVDs. We have a couple of discussions on spiritual warfare. I apologize for my... Oh, can you offer any materials on how to approach our state legislators about eliminating tax? Again, that's part of the presentation that will go up next week. I strongly recommend you take a look at that. I apologize for my ignorance regarding these questions. No apology necessary. We're all totally ignorant. It's like being out on the prairie. We're going to have to make it all up from scratch, just like our ancestors did. But we can do that. Hi, Catherine. Love your interviews. I was wondering if you know of good financial institutions that understand what is going on and can help Canadians with their investments. I don't. But if you're a Canadian subscriber and you know, I used to always go to Rob Kirby. The fellow runs the gold bullion firm that Rob used to work for, Nick Burish. Let me see if I can get his name and title in my, without going on the internet. Let me just see. No, I can't get his address, but he's in Toronto, Nick Barisheff, Barisheff. He runs the gold bullion and gold fund that Kirby used to work for. And they're very good on precious metals, but you'll need somebody else for real estate or securities. Anyway, if you're a Canadian subscriber and you have recommendations for great investment advisors and asset managers, I've dealt with numerous ones who I wouldn't recommend. Let me see if I can find something. I live in Mexico at the moment, but I'm Canadian. You could also, depends on what, if you have as much as 500,000 to be invested, you can use a Swiss or European money manager. So if it's 500,000 or up, there are a whole bunch of Swiss managers who will take a minimum of 500,000. So you might consider that. It's a lot of paperwork to do something in Switzerland. Just and you can thank the Americans for that. It's not the Swiss's fault. Hi, Catherine. I've read through the information. If I get any recommendations from Canadians, I'll post it. I've read through the information on the site about Solaria Investment Advisory Services and Solaria Advisors to Equity Investment Screens. It would be great if you would explain the basics, how an investor can go about screening and working with these screens, and the role permanent asset management plays. I can't do that because the marketing is done by Parvin for Parvin. So Parvin uses our screens for some of their products, and you need to talk with Parvin. It's very important to me that I not cross-market on the Solaria report. I think it's a conflict of interest because obviously I get fees from, if somebody should go into Solaria Investment Advisory, go to Parvin, sign up with Parvin, then if you use one of their products that uses one of our screens, we get a fee. So that's a conflict of interest. And it's very important to me and our general counsel that we don't give investment advice on the Solaria report. I think it's a conflict of interest. So what I can do is I can recommend that you read two wrap-ups. One is, can we screen for companies with fundamental productivity? I think that was in 2016, and then in 2018, I did something on can ESG turn the red button green. So, and that brings up the issues of screening. So I would read those two wrap-ups if you want to understand my fundamental approach to sort of doing due diligence on companies with respect to whether or not they're fundamentally productive or not. And so when I invest, that's what I'm looking is this company doing, does this company not have a criminal business model? Anyway, so I'm looking to just screen out serious corruption. Take a look at those two wrap-ups, and if you want to know more about the screen and how it operates, I would recommend you talk to Parvin. Question. I wanted to share some news from the front lines. I work for a large multinational company and just learned the company's ability to obtain financing is tied to our ESG rating. It's not surprising. That's how it's always engineered through the banks and the financial system. There is an effort to demonstrate compliance with ESG expectations. Here's my prediction. If the Republicans win in November in the House and Senate in the United States, between reality and the Great Resist, it's going to get ESG slaughtered because ESG is really being used as a way to implement central control and technocracy. It's not being used to, in my opinion, to implement real ESG. Part of the problem is trying to do that in a technocratic way is a mind-boggling process. So, and it just overlays way too much complexity on both the investor and the company. They always work. Everybody had to have a refrigerator the moment the mortgage company said, no refrigerator, no mortgage, and suddenly GE was making a fortune on their refrigerators. That's why I always quote that old New Jersey street saying, make a law, make a business. And some of those laws are good laws. So sometimes no practical sort of good-hearted person would object to some of them. My question today is regarding my dilemma. I currently live in Canada and work remotely for my company. You have an opportunity to move to your closer to your family on the East Coast. The current housing market concerns me. Okay, so this is a very gestalt question. Should you sell now and move or wait? I would sell now. If you look at what could happen with housing prices, it could go either way, but if it goes against you, it's going to go against you much harder than it is now. And the other is, I think it's very important to get close to your family and get your new situation set up as quickly as possible. So I think speed is of the essence to get yourself in a lower risk position because you have a young child and you're close to your family. And wherever you're going on the East Coast, it probably is not going to be as bad as Canada is right now. So I just think because of political risk and living equity risk, I would get to where you're going ASAP. And that means I would sell now. Now, sometimes I'll take a loss to sort of move quickly. I agree, you don't want your home vacant, and so the question is, can you rent it? I would go quickly. That's my take. But there's no way to know. If you go quickly and it moves against you, it could go the wrong way. I no longer anticipate a quick sale to or consider price estimates listed as many popular websites as realistic. My take on things is I would go quickly. If you have to leave the house on the market, it'd be great if you could find somebody you could trust who could rent it at low cost and sort of keep it warm and functioning. I would try and move my family as quickly as possible. And one of your problems is, I just think the value of a support system is critical anyway, but it's a gestalt thing, and there's no way to know what, from a financial standpoint, will be the best move, but I would sell now. And I would discount to sell fast. Okay, geopolitics and financial markets. I was reviewing the contents of the letter that Michael Barr sent to Senator Toomey. Would you please interpret the four bullets in the letter for us? My interpretation in the four bullets is that they are fully mendacious. Okay, so I will take a look at that and answer that in the next Ask Catherine. I got to go through the letter and I don't have the internet up. Question: I found the line graph showing increase in disability 16 and over. Can you explain why the Fred site is used by the BLS? I cannot find that graph. Okay, so they're asking about the labor questions. I sent you the tables that we used from the BLS. That's the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So I have no idea why Fred's doing what they're doing, but what I would do is I would ask Fred. I'm assuming Fred is using the BLS data. You need to ask Fred. Why are they doing this if the country is bogus? This just gets CBDC cash help, direct payments of 700 for millions of Americans to be sent to bank accounts. Could you also qualify for a bonus 350? I don't know if this is true, but if it is, they want people dependent on the federal government. So what they'd love to do is sort of bankrupt everybody's business and income and move them to a universal basic income and use CBDC, because then basically if they've got complete control, it's like being a slave. So anything they can do to encourage dependency on federal government money, they're going to do, because that gets them where they want to go. And if you look at the incredible wealth that new technology is capable of creating, it's basically ch it's a cheaper way for them, to get all the financial benefit and keep the money they've stolen. So believe it or not, they can give everyone a universal basic income and be significantly better off. The billionaire class can be significantly better off completely, particularly if they continue to downsize and depopulate and genocide the population. So it's a very ugly picture. And that's why Franklin Sanders always says all government money comes in with a sock in the jaw. Don't touch it. Just don't touch any of that money. I do get Social Security, but that's because I put the money into the trust fund, so I'm getting back the money I put in. It's my attitude. When the COVID subsidies came out, I sent them all back because I just don't want the whatever secret terms and conditions apply to that money. I don't want them. Hi, Catherine. We are constantly competing with our vaccinated actuary son who works for life insurance companies. So Dowd says there's an increase in disability 16 to 14, which I assume comes from this Fred graph, but why can't I find this data on the BLS website? So we found it on the BLS website. I showed it to you in the table in Money and Markets. It's on the Bureau of Labor Statistics website. So, and when I sent you the table, it has the name in it, so you can pick it up in BLS on a search. BIS says central banks must make fundamental decisions on foreign access too, and interoperability of CBDCs to improve cross-border payments. BIS, IMF, and World Bank said international coordination is a prerequisite to issuing CBDCs, and decisions must be made early. ICBA opposes establishing a U.S. CBDC to avoid disintermediation and other risks. I can't tell you how much risk this is. The big problem they all have is there's so much secret and illegal money swinging around. They've got to build two systems, one for retail CBDC and one to keep swinging the secret money around. I know gaming is wildly popular on Solari, but bear with me. Gaming, I don't know what you mean. I know gaming. So scenario planning is wildly popular in Solari, but oh, you're being sarcastic, laughing out loud. Microtransactions are widely used in the gaming space for years, grooming our kids. Here's the next onslaught on the theme, you own nothing but will be happy, because the microtransactions are planned to be slapped on everything. I bet that electric car will be standing more still than it will ever be driven. Wonders of the digital world, a prison beyond belief if humanity lets it pass. You're absolutely right about the electric cars. So go listen. It's in Solari in the news. There's a couple minute video of Massey grilling Pete Buttigieg on the electric car issue and how much energy it uses and the fact that they will have to be standing still. Except we could have brownouts all over the country and everything could be standing still. It's pretty funny. Trying to push back and make their feelings known any way they can in Sri Lanka. Emerging markets getting hit hard. These days, my heart goes out to these folks, especially when they see how the other half doing Mr. Global's bidding lives right in their midst as they suffer. So Sri Lanka's getting pumped and dumped. It's really ugly. Now you have to use a QR code to get fuel. You know, it's an auger of what they're going to try and do here. But interestingly enough, vaccine passports have been rejected everywhere. It's pretty interesting. Hi, Catherine. Wish you a good day and thank you for all your work. I learned a lot. Oh, I just wanted to say, I've been talking for years about the dollar bear trap, and that is exactly what's happening in the emerging markets. They're being put in the corner by the dollar. And the dollar system, not just the dollar system run out of the US, but the dollar system run out of the City of London. Euro dollar deposits is ruling the roost, and don't let anybody tell you it's going to collapse. It's got the big control position in the global currency markets. Question. Hi, Catherine. Wish you a good day and thank you for all your work. I learned a lot. I'm listening to Frank Nicely's On Kicking Tyranny to the Curb. Can you do a series on the Constitution and explain what it means? The Bill of Rights. These are all great things, but this is not our lane. If you go to the John Birch Society or any sort of big constitutional foundation, they have great material on this. What I would do with the Constitution is simply read it. If you just sit down and read it, it's great. Listen to anything by Edwin Vieira on the Constitution. He is, you know, he's the constitutional scholar I most listen to. So I would read the Constitution and then I would see what Edwin Vieira has on his website or you can find on YouTube. I would read the Bill of Rights. I think these things really do stand on their own. I'm sure the John Birch Society has great stuff on this, but I will also troll around and see if anybody has good videos. We regularly post good videos if we see ones on how to handle a police stop or how to handle your own lawyer. And let me see if I can find any of the How to Be Your Own Lawyer series. But again, what you need to do with the Constitution Bill of Rights is just sit down and just read, you know, just read a page a day. So and think about it. So you want to read a section and then think about it. Question. This may have been mentioned before, but just in case, in September 2022, California passed AB 1185, which allows the board of supervisors of each county control of oversight of the sheriff to party with it. The idea of giving board of supervisors control of the sheriff is totally frightening me in this day and age. I would just get the hell out of California. I don't see. If you recall the public actions of the head sheriff of LA County who refused the jab mandates for his department and also publicly warned against Chinese ties to the COVID testing company contracted by LA County, then this bill really fits into the broader control grid. In California, at least, it may no longer matter as much the question, who's your sheriff? I got news for you. Under the Constitution, the sheriff has the ultimate say as to what is constitutional. And no California bill can supersede that. They can't supersede the Constitution. But of course, you know, if you look at the powers that be, Mr. Global would love to get the United States to split up. And I would say he's doing an excellent job because the chances that Tennessee is going to be as far away from California is very, very high. Dear Catherine, I've seen nothing from you on the subject of the Dutch farmers. So I've discussed the Dutch farmers in a couple of situations, but one is an interview with Ripka Zelmaker, which will be published in August. So that's coming. The Dutch artist rents studio space in the house where I live in Mexico, and she seems utterly clueless about what's really going on. Getting her information from relatives in the Netherlands who seem to follow the mainstream news. Meanwhile, Michael Young and others are reporting. So here's what's happening. The Dutch government, as the German, Polish, many other European governments, are using phony baloney climate change made up stuff to steal the farmers' land and shut down the livestock. So they're trying to assert total control of the food system, create a food system where people can't get animal protein and have to eat bugs and synthetic meat, upon which they'll make a huge amount of money. So it's the goal is control, and to implement that, they're basically stealing people's land and forcing them to slaughter off their livestock. So this is as ugly as it gets, and if we let them take the farmers' land, this is a taking. It's just, you have it, we want it, we're gonna take it. And but they want to make it look simple. They don't want to just ride in like the Sheriff of Nottingham, so they make up all this complicated stuff, and it's a story, and everybody's got a reason why. Oh, well, they're just taking, you just have some of the farmers, they're taking their land, but it has nothing to do with us. Wrong. If you like food, it has everything to do with you. And if you want to keep your private property, it has everything to do with you. Because if you let the government just steal people's land, then you're next. So this is very ugly. Catherine, thank you for all you do. One guy wanted to know, did I overlap with Fritz Hobbs and Bob Hotz while at Dylan Reed? I overlapped with Fritz Hobbs for 11 years, so I was there for 11 years, and the 11 years I was there, he was there. Do you plan to attend Jay Dyer's event in Nashville on July 30? No, because I'll be in the Netherlands. It's too far. Hey, Catherine, we spoke a number of years ago, 2010. So this is somebody who got involved in the judicial system, has had a nightmare, and you say you're on a blackmail list. There's no way to get off that blackmail list other than to let it die off because they have more important things to do. You're talking about a covert list, or it's probably the Masons who pass it around. It's likely you're on the Masons list. So, but it could be one of the intelligence agencies. So the only way to get off that list that I know of is, what I did was I stayed on the road, traveled around, so I wasn't in any Mason district for more than 30 days. I just kept moving with rare exception, and I just let the people who had a bee in their bonnet about me die off. I hate to say it, but, I'm waiting for the last person on the list to die. My stepmother once said, give me, she said, I want to pray for the people who are doing this. Who are the four or five most responsible parties? So I gave her a list, and they're all dead now except for one. So, no, sorry, two. Dick Cheney's still alive, maybe, sort of. Anyway, but I would say he's arguably the most hated man in American politics. But his daughter's doing a good job of continuing in his legacy. Hi, Catherine. This might be old ground, so feel free to jettison. For years, I've been bothered in the rollout of wireless communications. The health environment. Last year, I came across a very disturbing article how underground fiber optics spy on humans moving above. It's well worth a read. Here's a key passage. By shining a light laser through the fiber optics, the scientists could detect vibrations from above ground, thanks to the way the cable ever so slightly deformed. As a car rolled across the cable or a person walked by, the ground could transmit their unique seismic signature. The article even admits that at least in a small way, this was used in March of 2020. I bring this up because AT&T, since its spinoff of a large part of itself, DirecTV, so that's AT&T, is focusing now on internet and laying fiber optic cable in a big way, even to areas where I live. Yep, AT&T, as far as I'm concerned, if you said, who are the three most evil companies in the world, AT&T would be on that list. Let's see, the local guys are nothing like the evil stain known as AT&T, and the company is investing money not just to get it to the house property, but to hook it up inside the house for free. Oh, Jesus. That means they'll do whatever it takes to get it through the property and into all the houses. You betcha. That's like having a post office that decides to have a staffed office wherever anyone lives, even if it's a hermit in the Himalayas. This all seems very dangerous. Yes, it is. The only alternative is Comcast. It's like a convict trying to get tea and biscuits from a prison guard. Yep, you got it. It's bad. You know, if there is anything you can do, no one at Solari is allowed to use AT&T without a specific written waiver for me because, but it ha AT&T has such a monopoly that we still continue to have to use occasionally AT&T. Anyway, I appreciate you letting me know. Do not let AT&T run fiber on your property. Don't let it. Don't let it. We may have to all go to carrier pigeons. Dear Catherine, thanks you for all you do. I would like to offer up an idea to promote along with Cash Every Day. It's one that most probably will dismiss at hand. This is an amnesty day, which is sort of a committee that would cleanse people of their control file. I think that's a great idea, but the problem is you don't have the power under the law to, you don't have governmental sovereign authority to truly give them a pardon. And until you do that, I don't think this can work. I mean, I wouldn't recommend anybody do an informal sort of outing. Anyway, but I've always wanted to be able to do one of these committees to get as many people as possible coming back to the light. Anyway, it's a little bit like the what they did in South Africa. You can read the full description in the script, but I agree with you. We need something like that very badly. Dear Catherine, I grew up with Huntley and Brinkley. I now grow old with Catherine and John, and gratefully so. I picked up the Catholic diocesan paper, The Beacon, after Mass this morning. I think you must be in New Jersey, studying it closely, as I always do with my after breakfast coffee. And what did I see for the first time but a list that took up a half a page? Obituaries for the priests and deacons who died during July. This is the first list of its kind published in The Beacon. Its sheer mass on the page was alarming. In 1 month, the one diocese has lost 22 priests and 31 deacons. I would describe that as a calling. That's hard to believe that's a coincidence. It's with a heavy heart that I share this news with you and your subscribers, for I fear this may be an unreported or certainly underreported trend around the country. I'm getting reports like this from all over the place, but the worst reports right now are coming from the United States. So it's definitely an underreported trend, but people are figuring it out. Just do a search for traffic fatalities and swimming accidents on the beaches. You know, more reports this week of swimming accidents, just people mysteriously dying at the beach. I mean, if you're over 65, you might want to think about going to the beach. In his narrative of the Civil War, Shelby Foote described the casualties of a battlefield as so many shingles overlapped upon a roof. Oh, the carnage once again. I send my prayers your way. Hold that bill of righteousness and clarity. Well, I really appreciate your sending this because it's a great example, but I find it particularly chilling that it's religious leadership, because there's no doubt they're trying to kill the access to the divine. Catherine, this is disturbing. Do we have a way to stop it? Oh my goodness, I'm gonna have to go back on the internet. You guys are forcing me back on the internet. Okay, here we go. Let's see what this is. I would just ignore that one. Not just because of what it says, but these things work off some truths. But, a video like this is going to have disinformation and entrain. The thing that worries me is not the disinformation, it's the entrainment subliminal programming. I just stay away from that crap. But there are glimmers of truth about all the kinds of financial control grids and the insider-outsider game that we talk about all the time. So I don't know if that's the same one as one I watched, but they used a lot of words that I use. It was really, they said their whistleblower was a guy named Gideon, and I don't know. It's just crap. I wouldn't trust it. You need to know who's saying this, where they're getting their information, who are they? Are they trustworthy? Things put up by strangers that are supposedly covert, blah, 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 blah. Taking off the internet because that one definitely came with entrainment. You and Polly question. You and Polly mentioned not having your teenagers babysit for vaccinated babies. But what about grandmothers? Two out of three of my grandchildren are not vaccinated, but maybe sometime in the next 6 months. These lovely grandbabies are 2 and 5. I sit for them daily during the school year. What is your advice for me? I think it's safer for you. If you are mature and experienced, then you can be a good witness if either the related doctors or enforcement try and frame you. And if your children totally know that you would, you know, you're trustworthy. So I think it's a lot safer for you than a teenager. But again, you need to understand that these things happen with vaccinated children. Sudden death syndrome is real. And what I would just do is talk with your kids about it. If they vaccinate, just explain, you're nervous because sudden death syndrome is real. And if they're going to want you to babysit and they vaccinate and that's a risk, it's also a risk to you. So I talk to them about it before they vaccinate. And let's just pray they don't. Question. The stolen truck saga has finally concluded with it located this time in Oakland. Okay, so this is a wonderful subscriber. And we've gone through their truck being stolen twice. It's unbelievable. I say truck, but it looked more like a turkey carcass after a hungry Thanksgiving dinner. The pros got a hold of it this time. Missing was the entire front grille of the truck, headlights, taillights, battery, carburetor, the brand new, just installed catalytic converter, and muffler, tailpipe, and bumpers. The ignition was destroyed, along with a good part of the dashboard. The truck was practically peeled down to the frame. That's what qualifies as a total. We're a pride of ownership people, a quaint idea installed in us by our parents. So we've always taken care of our cars and trucks ourselves. We don't want a new vehicle with all the new surveillance and tracking technologies. Thus, we baby ours. We would never have sold this truck by choice. So to see a reliable old friend completely dismantled was especially sad. Living in California currently makes this experience even more challenging for us to digest, as the dictatorial Democrats are obsessed with championing lawbreakers and punishing law-abiding taxpayer citizens. San Francisco has the highest property rate in the country, and we know whoever stole our truck twice will never be held accountable. Hey, Nancy, Diane, Gavin, we are number one. Hope you're doing well. Please, when you get the money from the insurance company, buy an old truck or an old car. You're right, you don't want all that stuff in. I recently saw a video posted by Anna Von Reese in which she discussed the secondary effects of the Supreme Court recent EPA ruling. Her take on the intent of the court's decision was that it significantly walked back the powers of not just the EPA, but any departmental agency to enact regulations. So we, John, Titus, and I discussed the possibilities of that. Her ultimate point being that the IRS being spawned from the Federal Reserve would no longer be able to enforce taxation rules for citizens. I think that's a huge reach. John, Titus, and I discussed whether or not this decision could have impact for other departments, and we discussed the process by which that might occur, but we don't think it has occurred yet. That's in not this week's Money Markets, last week. This possibility boggles my mind. Could it possibly be true? Highly unlikely. It would take a lot of more court decisions and other things to make that into an effect. And in the meantime, you know, millions of us could go to prison. So I just think that's an overreach. I would like to hear your opinion on the EPA decision. So I would take a look at the article that Corey Lynn published on the EPA decision. And I think we posted an intro commentary. So just put EPA in the search bar, you'll pull it up. I'd be curious to hear your opinion on restate national status, if electing this change in relationship would offer protect. So if you read the theme this week, we're going to have, it'll publish next week. So on the July 28th, I would read all the stuff, recommendations to state legislatures. I think unless the states do the kind of things we're recommending, I don't think the states can provide the support to sovereignty that we need. I fundamentally don't understand how Biden can get away with actions. You need to watch my video on the red button problem, and you need to understand there is bipartisan support for a criminal economic and financial model, and that's what has to be addressed. Biden's not running the country. He doesn't make these decisions. He's not in control. If you ever find yourself exploring the idea of hiring a private chef or want to learn how to use food as medicine, get the most from natural supplementation, feel free to engage me on the possibilities. I would be more than happy to share my expertise. That's great. Okay. Check out Corey Lynn's article on the EPA decision. And then I, you know, if you watched last week's Money Markets, John and I talk about it, but it's only a minute or two. But that's our take on it. Health and food. Catherine, I'm not sure if you get this Let's see, I recently went to see Dr. Klinghart in Seattle after I had some bioenergetic testing, which showed alignment of my system. He's fabulous. I just love Klinghart. So you've got quite an education on Lyme disease. So you're off horrific psychiatric drugs. Anyway, you sent a link to the Lyme protocols and therapies. That's very useful. Oh, you found out Klinghart through Solaria. I'm so glad you went to see Klinghart. He's got a health institute and partners at Sophia Health Institute. I just think Klinghart is fantastic. And you're recommending Dr. Daniel Amen, a brain neurologist. Lyme disease is the hardest thing in the world to beat, but I know people make real serious progress on it. It's tough, and I do believe it's biowarfare. So, anyway, good for you. Question: we are trying to find ways to diversify our savings since nothing is truly safe. We've done the usual diversification to date. We found out about the program being put by Azure Standard regarding their customer-sponsored warehouse. I took a look at the material you send. If you're an Azure Standard customer, this makes perfect sense to do. The issue on anything like this is, as they describe in their materials, if the company goes down, you lose everything. And so the question is, how much do you put in? This week on Financial Rebellion, episode 31, I went through, Polly asked me to do this, I went through 22 places you can stash your cash. And what I said was, the important thing is be like a squirrel, and don't put a lot in one place. There's no magic bullet, a little bit here, a little bit here. You wouldn't believe how much cash I have spread all over the planet. I got cash notes everywhere. I'm like, can you hold this, $1,000 for me? Just you hold it here. It's your rainy day fund. And, but if I show up in town and need some money, let me, I'll take it back. Anyway, so I got cash stashed everywhere. But it looks to me, if you're using Azure as a customer, I think this looks very, like a pretty sensible thing to do. And what you need to know is, of course, the New World Order is after companies like this, so they could run into trouble, which means how much can you afford to put in and lose 100% if they get, if they get wiped. I don't know, but if I was a regular Azure customer, I would definitely do something here. I tried to do something in my equivalent, which is Hofweb in the Netherlands. They were crowdfunding money because they were growing so fast, and they needed some working capital. So I took 24 hours. I saw it immediately. I was going to immediately put money in. And then I said, no, I should ask my Dutch partner's wife if they're going to do it. And we do it at the same time. By the time I talked to them 24 hours later and went back to do it, too late, fully subscribed, don't need your money. Anyway, so I think the question is, yeah, it's a good thing, but how much can you afford to put in and run the risk of losing everything? So it's like that. That's why you got to do many, many different things, because any one of them could be wiped. Again, this is not an investment strategy, it's a war strategy. Okay, local gatherings. So very glad to hear Solaria Connect is being well responded to. Local connection and support is a brilliant idea I want to contact in my area, but having difficulty getting to find and complete the form to do so. When I'm logged in and attempt to get into Solaria circles, it says wrong email. Just go to customer service. Just send an email to customer service at solaria.com and tell them what you the best thing is if they can call you and walk you through it would be the best. So just send them your telephone number and good times to call, and customer service will call you and walk you through it. We believe in human communication. We have to use the online systems, but if you need a human, we're there. Recommended links, a lot of recommended links. So somebody recommends the Earthing movie, The Remarkable Science of Grounding. I had just an incredible experience with the guy who wrote the Earthing book. So I'm a great believer in walking around on the earth barefoot. I think earthing's great, but be careful. You don't need any entrepreneur between you and the earth, so get your feet on the ground. But I'm not 100% certain that's the guy I'm thinking of, but let me just see. Gotta put the internet back on. My apologies to the guy who said I wasn't gonna put the internet back on for his question. I'll get it next week. Okay, so this looks very, very good. I will make sure we watch this, so I appreciate your sending. I'm gonna send it right now into our movie stack. Okay, so we'll check that out. That looks very good. I do believe grounding is really great. Hi, Catherine. An old TED video was just brought to my attention. It totally flies in the face of reducing the number of cattle. The whole cow farm madness is total madness. Worth a watch in a nutshell. Oh, great. Oh, it's Alan Savory. He's so wonderful. Absolutely. This is Alan Savory at TED. He is fantastic. Love this guy. I discovered him when I was on one of my trips to Australia. Thank you very much for sending that. I'll send that into the blog right away. The next one is Vatican sells commemorative coins promoting need to be vaccinated against. It's that old line. My elevator only goes to the first floor. If you're going to the basement, you need to get off and take the stairs. Vatican just needs to get off and take the stairs. And then somebody sent a link to Global Walkout. The Great Reset is on. Oh, then somebody sent a picture of the Eiffel Tower and Bastille Day with the colors of the Ukraine. Macron should be shot. That's sarcasm. They're making a fortune. I don't know if you saw this. There was a plane that left the Ukraine and was carrying weapons to Bangladesh out of Ukraine. We're pouring billions into the Ukraine and they're doing drug and weapons deals. It's Iran-Contra too. I sent this to my county board of supervisors after I sent numerous emails to them last year when I started developing cardiac problems. An adjacent county desk has consulted with a cell tower lawyer. This is a video recording of their meeting. I really appreciate your sending this. Does your board of supervisors test the county? I'll send this one into the blog as well. There is a great new interview of Robert Kennedy with the attorney from Louisiana that they're litigating over the EMF harm, and I just sent it up to the web, but it's up on the CHD website, and I strongly recommend it. It's shocking what's going on. And if you haven't read Invisible Rainbow, Arthur Fürstenberg's book on EMF radiation and what it's doing to us, I strongly recommend it. They are now, Catherine, they are now calling young people suddenly dying from heart problems, sudden adult death syndrome, SADS. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a war. This is genocide. And don't think that it's some kind of coincidence or accident. It's not. I never used that word. It was too strong until I read Mark Skidmore's survey, and that's when I finally said, okay. Most people would call it a culling. It's not a flat-out Rwanda genocide, but not to say that it can't build into that if we don't stop it. So, ladies and gentlemen, ask Catherine where I'm recording early on Friday the 22nd for publication today. We delayed it a day because we had big things to put up. I did a big review for Equity Overview of all the questions I've been getting for Ask Catherine, and I did them in a sort of sequential order with a script and lots of links, and I strongly recommend you dive into that. Remember, it's a buffet. Use the pieces that are energizing for you, and feel free to skip the parts you already know about or don't think you need. So, with that, thank you for joining me at Ask Catherine. Have a wonderful 2 weeks, and we'll be back with Ask Catherine 2 weeks from now.